We walked through Psalm 119 together. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for our scripture.
Good morning. Our Old Testament reading for today is found in Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading for today is found in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. There we go. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Being designated by God a high priest over the order of Melchizedek, this is the word of the Lord.
I invite you to rise and honor the gospel. From Mark's gospel in the 10th chapter. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, See, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right and one on your left in your glory." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am to be baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated, and I invite our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for gathering us into your house, into your presence to receive your word and gifts. Pray, moved by your Spirit, remove distractions from our hearts and minds as we hear your words for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are as Lent winds down, and we see Jesus walking along and teaching his disciples just like he has been through the whole Gospel of Mark as we've been listening in and watching as we walk through these weeks. And this week I thought it was really interesting more than anything. Think through a time when either you were listening to or being listened to just in order to respond. That's what I mean. Instead of actually listening to what somebody's saying, you're just listening for a break in their conversation so you can say what you want to say. Or have you ever felt that? It's weird, right? I mean, take a moment to lay out what's going on? A hard conversation with somebody, and you see them kind of nodding and waiting and nodding and waiting, and then all of a sudden they jump in with something that's completely off track, and they just want to tell you what they wanted to say to begin with. It's kind of how I imagine this conversation going with Jesus and James and John. You see, Jesus had just been walking along with all of them, and they had been cruising along from Galilee up to Jerusalem, and just before this account, there was a young man that had come in and said, "Teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And they have a whole conversation about following the law and all those things. And Jesus says, "There's one thing you're lacking. Go sell all that you have and go take care of the people that are around you." And the guy says, "Yeah, that doesn't sound very glorious. I don't know about that one." And then as they're walking along, Jesus looks at James and John, the disciples, and all the folks following him. And he says, "See?" Which in Scripture, that's like, "Looky here, behold, hey, check it out. We're actually going up to Jerusalem. Now the third time I'm telling you, the Son of Man is going to go to Jerusalem and be mocked and spit on and beaten by the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers, and they're going to kill him, and then he's going to be buried, and then he's going to rise on the third day." You can just imagine James and John kind of nodding along, saying, "Yeah, okay, we've heard this three times. I don't really know what to say, though, because last time Peter called him out on this, he got called Satan. So I don't know if we necessarily want to respond in that way. How about we just skip over the suffering part?" It's kind of what we want to do in our conversation sometimes, too, isn't it? You might hear a word from God in his Scripture, you might hear it taught in a particular way. It might sound like something that's overbearing and hard. You might walk through a difficult portion of life, might have to deal with a hard relationship, might have to deal with a hard conversation, might have to make some hard choices. And more often than not, we don't want to do that. To actually walk in those situations is difficult. It can hurt. There's risk, right? It's also humbling. But to walk through those roles is a challenging thing. And so as James and John hear all this going on, that they know Jesus has been talking about himself as the Son of Man, they know he's been pointing to this fact that he is going to be the one who suffers for all. They've heard John the Baptist say, there he is, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And they're still trying to wrap their heads around this whole thing. So they say, let's not deal with it. We're just not even going to deal with that part of the conversation. In fact, Jesus, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. That hits a little close to home, I think, for us sometimes too. Jesus, I don't really want to listen to your word, but now that you've taken a break in your conversation, would you do for me what I ask of you? Would you take a moment, just listen to what I have to say, Jesus, as I point you in the direction that you should go. It's a hard word to hear, isn't it? It's how we act sometimes, though. Just want Jesus to kind of follow along in our plan. We've got it all worked out. We've got the plans laid out, and James and John sit there and say, hey, Jesus, look, when you enter into your glory, when everything is good and all the suffering stuff you're talking about is done, but when you enter into your glory, why don't you put us on your left and right? Why don't you let us be your counsel? Why do you let us be the authoritative voices to get done what you want to have done once you're in your glory? Because the suffering thing we don't want to deal with, but we'd love to be there in those places of authority. And should this not go the way you think it will with the whole rising from the dead thing, we'll carry on your message for you. We'll be the ones that are in charge. We'll be the ones that continue to keep your word going. And we'll stand in your glorious spot, Jesus. How's that sound? I mean, that might be putting the best picture on it, right? Saying, we'll do what you'll have us do. We just don't want to deal with the ugly, nasty parts. Sometimes we live our lives that way. It's really nice to live in the good and the grace and the wonderful and the glorious parts of being part of God's family. It's hard to deal with the difficult realities of conversations and relationships, conversations within ministry, conversations in the community, conversations within families. Those are all hard. Yet see, those are the parts that maybe we start to grow a lot in too. Being able to have those open, honest conversations. I mean, here's Jesus standing before the ones who he's been teaching day in and day out as they walk along. And he says, look, even the Son of Man has come for you. Even the Son of Man is going to be beaten and flogged and killed and buried. Even the Son of Man is going to suffer. Even the Son of Man. Going to have to deal with some hard conversations. I mean, can you imagine those conversations going on between Jesus and Pilate? Conversations with Jesus and all of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those folks who are calling him out for blasphemy. I mean, the very word of God, the Son of God in the flesh being called out on blasphemy, speaking against himself? I don't think so. But to just simply be quiet as Jesus would hear them out, listen to what they had to say, and say, I'm going to die for you. Oh. He wasn't listening to respond, he was just listening to hear. And with James and John, he actually walked through it with them for just a little bit. Man, you got to admire their confidence, right? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? As he's pointing to this wrath that he's going to carry from God, this mission that he is on for the sake of the entire world, for the love of his creation. He says, are you able to do that? And what was James and John's answer? You bet. We're in. Because Peter said that it shouldn't happen to you and you called him Satan. So we're not going to answer that way. But you bet, let's let this happen because he said, no, don't let it happen. So again, we're going to be right there with you, Jesus. You bet. Absolutely. We can do it. And he goes, you have no idea what you're talking about. Yet, you're right. You're going to see the suffering I suffer with. And you're going to see the same end that I see. The beautiful part there, though, is that even in the midst of them not understanding any of it, even in the midst of them proclaiming to him what they would have done, even in the midst of them saying, look, do this for us, and he's saying, no, it's not going to happen that way. In the middle of all of that, even the promises of the Son of Man remain true. Even his words remain true. As much as they try to redirect him and lead him in a different way, his words ring true. Everything he said that was going to happen to him happened. Fortunately, everything that he said was going to happen to the disciples happened too. They did suffer. They did die. Yet they did rise also. Because that was the last word of his promise, was that on the third day he would rise again, that he would have victory over death, that he would show how life is more important than death, how he would show God's power and authority over all things. And for them to then know that gives us confidence too. To know that even in our suffering, even in the days when things are hard, even in the conversations that are challenging, there is a promise and a hope that remains, a promise given by God that his word reigns, that his power is the ultimate power of all things, that he raises his people from the grave to life everlasting, so that we would sit at the same table as him, so that we would enjoy all of what he has worked out for and accomplished in his glory. But trying to grab a hold of that now and bring it into our time and space now probably isn't appropriate. Because it's not here that we see all of it. Here we still walk around in a broken world where things don't always go right. At least not the way that we would have them go. And it's hard. But I mean, watching Jesus live his life, we saw that not everything quite looked right in our minds either, or in the minds of the disciples either. I'm sure they'd rather not have had Jesus die. I'm sure they would have rather not been martyred. I'm sure they would have rather not had any of those things happen. Yet again, even in the middle of all those things, his promise of life remained. His promise of coming to take away the sins of the world remained. His promise of forgiveness remained. And all of those things remain for you. And so as we see things that don't go right, and as we walk into conversations that are hard, and as we deal with all those things, we remember that even the Son of Man dealt with all those things and lived and brought forgiveness and brought hope. I think that when we find ourselves in those situations of needing to have the difficult places in life, we can remember that his words continue to flow through our lives, that there is forgiveness, that there is reconciliation, that there is hope, and that in Jesus we have life. What a promise to hold on to. As we look into these next couple of weeks and we see Jesus riding into Jerusalem only to be mocked and killed and buried. As we see Maundy Thursday with the Lord's Supper and that celebration of Passover and then sit at the cross at Good Friday and during the Easter Vigil, watch as hope starts to come back. And then Easter morning, this beautiful promise of resurrection. This beautiful promise of new things, this beautiful promise of God winning, of God living. And he lives for you. So then know that when you walk through times of suffering, even the Son of Man did that. Yet he promised what we cannot do on our own. He promised to give you the words of forgiveness. He promised to rise for you, to give you life. And he promised to continue to hold on to you in the midst of suffering. Not let you go, so that when the day comes that he returns, we would sit, maybe not exactly on his right or his left, but we'd sit at a table receiving from him, knowing that all things are in his hands. Amen. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life you have given us, the forgiveness you have given us, and then in the midst of suffering, the hope and the promise that you have given us, that even you walked through it all, and that you rose, and that you hand to us your life, and by your grace, you call us your very own. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. And we rest in the forgiveness that you have given. And in your name we pray. Amen.